Christian. Did you have a good week, Eleanor? Awesome. I had coffee with her this week, and it's just amazing around Eleanor how life just happens. Just the grace upon her, on her life, and I would think, man, she's so many things that she needs to deal with, and yet when I have a coffee afterwards, I walk away blessed. Because she walks out the calling on her life, like we heard from Annelies. God has written something on her heart, and she's pursuing that. So, yeah, just as a mother, Eleanor didn't plan this, but just we're just honoring you as a mother to many. And, yeah, thank you for the eternal blessing that you are to so many. And I'm sure you'll never even know in this side of eternity the reach of your life and your sacrifice of your life as a seed for many others. So we just want to honor you as a church community. Amen. Great. So it's Mother's Day, as you know, and I didn't have to look far to think of what we will share tonight. And so everybody has got some vague relation to a mother. It's kind of impossible not to. And so we know that our mothers are really amazing, and mothers in general are amazing in our lives. We, as a church, know that our prophetic theme for this year is new life. And so the only ones that can carry physical new life is moms, is mothers that can carry that new life. Now, mothers carry lots of things. Who here as a mom knows that they need to carry a lot of things? Amen. Who finds mothering very easy? I don't. I really don't. It's quite tough. I do school runs now and again, put kids to bed, etc. But anyway, it's not about me. I'm not the mom that it's all about tonight. But moms carry a lot of things, and I carry a lot of responsibilities, but moms also carry a hope. Moms really carry, I believe, a God-given hope. Who of you as a mom has carried or have carried a hope for your children? Maybe just quickly. Sometimes that dwindles, or sometimes it's not easy. And so I believe it's a God-given hope that moms do carry, and I want us to latch onto that because I believe it's an attribute of God. It's something in Scripture that is really important and something that we can learn a lot from. Billy Graham said the following. He said, "Only God himself fully appreciates the influence of a Christian mother in the molding of character in her children." Billy could have also said the molding of character in the mom by the children. But anyway, let's stay to the notes, stick with the notes today. And so God knows the character that is needed, but he also knows that only mothers know how to hopefully instill character into their children. Who knows that we're in a nation and worldwide, we need more people of character. I, for one, know clearly the cracks in my character. I'm not standing here because I've got a flawless character. I'm standing here because Hoffi said that Jesus is strong. That's why I'm standing here, by the way. But we need more character in the lives and the world that we live in. Billy Sunday said, "I don't believe there are devils enough in hell to pull a boy or a girl out of the arms of a godly mother. There's something fierce, something scary of a godly mother." This was a scary thing work. Amen? I don't know. Should I be scared to say that even? But there's something about a mother, and then hopefully a godly mother, that is really fierce and also fierce in the heavenlies. Now, I need to quickly stop. I jokingly sometimes say is the lawyer in me needs to throw around a couple of disclaimers. But I also want to just be humble in this moment. We're going to talk about mothering and mothers. We use it as symbolism, as a metaphor. It's a picture. So don't switch off if you're not a mother. If you're a guy, don't switch off. I know you're never going to carry a baby. Hallelujah. Some of us might look like we do, but I don't. But I want us to, jokes aside, guard our hearts even in this message. Because for some of us, might be a mom. If you're listening in on this message at a later stage, you might want to be a mom, or maybe you've lost a young one. We ourselves lost a young one prior to birth. And so I know everybody in this place has a different context. And I know there's different lenses or different ears to which we'll hear this message. But open up your heart to hear what the Lord wants to say to you. If you're a guy, if you're married, if you're not married, if you've got kids, if you don't got kids, if you've got many kids, I believe there's a message in this for all of us. But I'm saying this because I want us to protect each other's hearts. I don't want you to walk out of here feeling hurt or rejected, or this message wasn't for me because I'm not a mother. No, this message is for you because it's a godly attribute for all mankind. Amen? End of disclaimer. Thank you very much. Let's quickly pray. Lord, thank you that you'll have your way in this message. Thank you, Lord, that you will impart everything that needs to be imparted, that you will highlight and, Lord, reveal whatever needs to be revealed to every individual. Thank you, Father, for moms, but thank you also for moms-to-be. Thank you also that we know that we all have different stories, but I believe that the Spirit wants to speak to everybody because we all are children, as a matter of fact. We thank you for that, Lord. Have your way in Jesus' name. And so today's message is entitled, did I say amen? Amen. So today's message is entitled, A Mother's Hope. And I said mothers carry many things, they carry hope. But we want to quickly lay a foundation out of Scripture and look to two moms. Now in Luke 1, you would have read or you would have heard about Gabriel and Mary. Who knows about Gabriel, the angel, coming to Mary? Cool. One or two of us have heard that story. That's a good start. Please come back next week. And then there's another lady in there. Her name is Elizabeth. Who knows about Elizabeth and Zechariah? Now, in both cases, these ladies supernaturally were blessed by God to have children. Elizabeth, quite old, and Mary, as we know, she wasn't with a man, and so the Holy Spirit came over her, and she was Christ's mom. Likewise, Elizabeth, there was an angel that appeared to her husband, and these are two supernatural pregnancies, and now we're going to just jump into Luke 1, where these two ladies connect with one another. Like, girlfriend, you will not believe what's just happened to me type of moment. Skink coffee, skink tea, let's chat. So that's where we're at, and that's what we're quickly going to share. Luke 1:39. In those days, Mary set out and hurried. When a lady desperately wants to tell another lady something, and she does not have an iPhone, she hurries. She hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, supernatural moment, listen up. The baby leaped inside her and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she exclaimed with a loud cry, "You are the most blessed of women and your child will be blessed." Demi shared about blessing and blessing the Lord. And so it is actually very apt that today we'll look at this term of bless and blessing. And so she supernaturally, without even receiving the WhatsApp, she knows. Because the Holy Spirit leaps inside of her. The baby leaps as well inside of Elizabeth. We already know. Who was the baby inside of Elizabeth? John the Baptist. Thank you so much. And so he leaps. So here's a moment, and then she says prophetically, "You are the most blessed of women, and the child in you will be blessed." Who wants to be blessed? Blessed me? Blessed. We all want to be blessed. Blessed is also a very cheap term these days. Who's heard that blessed and hashtag blessed gets misused quite often, and then we miss the biblical and the sound and the truthful meaning of it? We're going to look at that today. And so these two women are both blessed. Supernaturally, God had spoken to her. How could this happen to me? Verse 43. That the mother of my Lord should come to me. For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside me. She who has believed is blessed, because what was spoken to her by the Lord will be fulfilled. So we hear a couple of things here. Elizabeth saying to Mary, you heard from God. God said something to you. You believed him. You will be blessed. And likewise, the kid in you will be blessed. We all know that we want to, especially with the moms and dads in the house, you want your kids to be blessed. Amen? And so we see a beautiful picture of this supernatural moment for these two young babies coming. Because you know what? It is amazing when a mom is pregnant, having lots of faith and lots of hope. And these two knew that God is on to something. God is busy with something miraculous, and we now, in hindsight, know that these two babies changed the world. Obviously, John the Baptist walking and preparing the way for Christ coming, and by God's grace, that's why we sit here today. That's why eternally we can live and breathe and we can have relationship with God in spite of a broken, broken, messed up world. And so they were quite the bee's knees, if I can put it that way. They were guys that would change the world and guys that was really successful in what they were set out to do. Who wants a kid that is successful? Need to be careful with these questions. Some of them are tongue-in-cheek, so please don't take me too seriously and please listen to the context. And as I usually say, don't hear what I'm not saying. Please do hear what I am saying. But these were two young men that will be guys of significance and they will be successful and they will change the world. Who of you guys personally wants to be a world changer? Some days I just want to change a light bulb. Life is not always easy, but yes, I ultimately actually want to be a life changer. And so coming back to a mother's hope, I believe all mothers carry a hope. Second disclaimer very quickly. In law, Ralph will tell you, you've got die redelike man. It's the redelike man test. It's the, what is the redelike man test, Ralph? The reasonable man test. And so in general, that's how your average Joe, just in layman's terms, your average Joe will react in a certain way. That is the actions of your average Joe in a set of circumstances. So quickly, when I refer to all mothers, I say that mothers generally will have this hope. Obviously, we know that there's broken mothers, unfortunately mothers that walked away from their responsibility, or mothers that was so hurt themselves that they unfortunately reciprocated that hurt unto their children. So I'm not referring to them, but back to the positive. I believe all mothers carry this following hope, and I want you just to play along just for a moment as we just quickly look at what is a mother's hope. Now, again, your context might differ, but we were lucky enough to have a baby's room. You'll have a book. Who's got a book with the first of everything? Bikiara, a little bit of hair, other stuff, gross stuff. What's that? What else? I think the firstborn. You know, the secondborn usually asks, "Where's my book? There's only one page." What's that? No, not the umbilical cord. I didn't want to mention that in church. The sonar. So you've got the sonar photo up, and then there's a theme for. Albeit if you've got a room or if you're not so blessed to have a room, the corner or the area where the baby will be, there's a room and then there's a baby shower. And is there other stuff as well? Names is massive. And so the mom starts dreaming up all these things and she's got this massive hope because pity will change the freaking world. Pity will change the world. Sunny is the Ian. And so we carry this hope. If your mom don't believe in you, really, praise God. I still believe one of my girls will play fly off with the Springboks. But I've got three girls for those that don't know. But you just as a parent and as a mom, you've got this incredible, I believe, supernatural God-given hope. By the way, we're speaking now. It's a metaphor once again. We are all the children. And we're going to play with this because I believe God wants to show us something about his heart. But every mother's got this hope. She hopes that Pity will be president. She hopes that this child will be someone one day. She hopes that this guy will be successful. She hopes that he will be, or she will be accomplished and the best at what they do. Come on, be honest. Healthy and whole. Yes, I'm getting too godly. Hopefully most of your mothers will have this hope that they will be godly, healthy, and whole. Unfortunately, maybe if you don't know the Lord, you want them to be beautiful, pretty, rich, and powerful. Maybe sometimes you want a bit of both. You want them to be safe. You want them to make a difference. Let's be honest, a mom sometimes have this hope in her heart that my kid will be a hero. I don't believe all of that is entirely wrong. But now, quickly, guard your heart. Say, guard my heart. Okay, great. There's also, unfortunately, something we need to look at today, and that is called a mother's reality. So, we know what a mother's hope is. And we know you just need to look at a young mom to know what a mother or father's hope is. But unfortunately, there's something called a mother's reality or parent's reality as well. Do you know that last year in South Africa, our jails, our prisons were 124.8% full? That's a couple of hundred thousand people in prison. That is the reality of a couple of mothers. Do you know that every day, unfortunately, in South Africa, 23 people commit suicide? The World Health Organization says that every 40 seconds, somebody right across the world commits suicide. Every 40 seconds. Just think how long this church service is. Every 40 seconds. Every 3 seconds, somebody tries to commit suicide. All of those people have a mother. And for all of those mothers, that is their reality. It is not their hope, but it's their reality. 15% of South Africa, South Africans, we're about 60 million. 15% of us is 9 million. 9 million people are substance abusers. They're addictive to substances of some sort. 51% of women experience abuse. 51% of women in our lives, in our world, in South Africa, experience abuse. All of those mothers, it's their daughters. Both victims and aggressors have mothers, by the way. That's the reality of those mothers. 1 in 4 people, that's 26% worldwide, of people have mental illness. 1 in 4 people across the world have mental illness. That's a mother's reality. 99,000 hijackings took place last year in South Africa. 99. Both victims and the aggressors have mothers. And that is their realities. There's murders, rape, emotional hurt, there's depression, and there's many things. That is the reality of many mothers in this world we find ourselves in. My question to the Lord, my question in my own life, my question in my heart, as your eyes light up, as you receive this bundle of joy, or if you are the bundle of joy, how do we get from there to here so very often? How is it possible to get from here, from there to here? And how is it possible that that place can be this place and vice versa? I can go on with the stats. I read up a bunch of stats, and it's really something that can make you nauseous. But I think it's something that we need to be honest about. When we dedicate 3 young, beautiful girls, and we have lots of hope, and we've got these prophecies over their lives, how can we not sit in this chair in 20, 30, or 40 years' time? How can we, by God's grace, sit in that chair with Jesus and keep on sitting there in humility? You see, Mary and Elizabeth heard, had a hope, but their hope became a reality. They sat on one chair and they stayed on one chair. Man, who of the mothers in this place would not like to keep remaining sitting in the hope and see that come to fruition in your child's life? All of us would like that. Now let's move back to the positive. And let's quickly look at who God is. Because I believe where we've got a mother's hope, you might as well just a God's hope, or in fact, God the Father's hope. You know, because this that He's given supernaturally to each and every mother and each and every father and each and every human, that heart and that hope for their own to succeed and to be blessed and to be alive and safe and godly and all of those things we've mentioned is of the Lord. Let's look at Scripture. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Listen up, church. "And before you were born, I consecrated you." Consecration is to set apart. I've got a special purpose for you. I've got a plan. Even before I formed you, I knew you. That is what God is saying to each and every one of you guys. You might not want to hear that, but it is the truth. "I consecrated you. I've appointed you a prophet to the nations." Obviously, he there speaks to Jeremiah, but we also know that God doesn't have favorites. He doesn't nitpick. This guy's going to be a prophet. That guy's going to be a president. And the rest of you guys, we see you guys at soup kitchen. Or we see you on the streets, or we see you down the road. He doesn't have favorites. I believe he's got a heart and a father heart for each and every one of the children and children to be. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." God's got a mom's heart, guys. God's got a mom's heart for you. God's got a mom's heart for each and every one of us. I've got a hope and a future. I've got plans for you. I believe a mom's heart and God's heart is one in this degree. But how do we then, how do we bridge this chasm? How do we bridge this gap? How do we get these two together? How, not only for the moms, but for us as the children, do we actually have these two come together? Anybody? Great. Let's turn to Jesus, the one who were blessed, the one whose mother was called blessed, and who indeed was blessed because he walked out his calling, and today I can breathe and stand here and have eternal life. Luke 11, 27 to 28 says, "True blessedness." This caught my eye about 16 years ago already. I've got a Holman's Bible. It's almost in shreds. I love it. And in red, it said true blessedness. Because blessed and hashtag blessed was a cheap term. And I wanted to know, what does it actually mean? Because it's not my Lancool shoes. And it's definitely not my skateboard or the gel in my hair or whatever the case may be, of which I all like. Let's read together. "As he was saying these things, a woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him," being Jesus, "the womb that bore you and the one who nursed you are blessed." Funny enough, she said exactly or more or less the same thing as Elizabeth way back in Luke 1. The womb who bore you was blessed. I think many moms here have thought that they might be receiving the second Jesus because they love their kids so much and then on realize, well, it's not exactly Jesus. But this lady saw something and she knew the womb that bore you. You're really a stunning young man. I would have loved to be your mother. And so she said that to him. Yet he replies the following, and he said to her, even more, I would maybe put my own words there. He said to her, you're right, she is blessed, but those who hear the word of God and keep it are blessed. It's not a quick fix, not a cute knoppie. Get near fiki stuff. Tram, stulle by mekaar. Nee. Jesus gives us the word and it's quite hard. But it's liberating. And it's beautiful. He said even more, those who hear the word of God and keep it are blessed. Moms, you want to keep your hope? Pray for your children to hear the word of God and keep it. Pray for your children to hear the word of God and keep it. Pray for your children to hear the word of God and keep it. And you will not have to sit on this chair. And you will be able to, by grace, keep on sitting on that chair. Because you know what will bring these two together at the end of the day? It's one word. It's very simple. That word is Jesus. I went to go look up the word here used for word. You know by now I love Rhema. Who knows what Rhema is? Rhema is prophetic. It's when God speaks to you personally. It's like you feel like, God het vir my gepraat. It's like, that's personally. But then the other one in Greek is the logos. Now the logos is the sum total of God's counsel, his full counsel to mankind, called the word. We also know the word in John 1, just quickly, keep with me, because I believe if you've got this key, it can really help us not to sit in this chair or not see our children sit in this chair. The word there is logos. That's the full counsel of God. Who is the full counsel of God? Jesus is the full counsel of God. In John 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Referring to Jesus Christ. We think he's just a man that was both man and God. He was so much more, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one that will breach a mother's hope and make it to stay a mother's godly reality. His name is Jesus. If you want to personally, or if your children personally want to keep sitting in that hope, that dream, pray that they will hear Jesus. That they will hear Jesus and keep it. Listen what he says. And so Jesus there says very simply, relationship with God, in hearing God, being able to read his word and then let it change your inside. Not just cognitively. I said earlier, taste and know that the Lord is good. Don't tell me about that amazing restaurant. Let me taste it. Sorry, this is Kempe. But don't tell me about that steak that you can prepare that's so beautiful and that everybody likes. If I taste it, I might just testify, yes, it's actually not that bad. Likewise with the red wine or whatever the case may be. Why would it be different with God? Why would he want us to fake all of this? Taste and know that the Lord is good. Imagine having our children, moms, if your child will daily taste and know that the Lord is good. If they are unable to hear his word, both Logos and Rhema, in other words, read the Bible and then it becomes real to them. If they both have that, that place will stay there. And Christ will bring them together. Just imagine the prison stats. In fact, there's places in the world where there's been revivals, where the prisons will run empty. Just imagine our prison stats. Just imagine what can happen in South Africa if the mother's hope can stay the mother's hope and becomes the mother's reality. Imagine God's hope for you when he made you in your mom's innermost parts and he knew you even before you were made, before you were born. Imagine if that hope is what you can walk in daily. Jesus, help us. It is by grace. And then second to that, Mary and Elizabeth. They were blessed and you were like, well, they had John the Baptist and Jesus. It's easier than Donnie and Pity. That's a joke for all the Donnies and Pities, really. But you know what with Mary and Elizabeth, what I noted? I was jogging yesterday. I don't always think about the sermon the whole weekend. I do Bri as well. But I was jogging and then I just realized, man, that's what they had. Both these moms were submitted to God's will in their children's lives. Both of them wanted, they had a hope, but it wasn't a dipsy-flipsy worldly hope. They wanted something of true substance. They had a hope that was consecrated to the will of God. Mary and Elizabeth did not have an easy hope. Hello, if you come around and say, hey, Donnie's wearing camel hair clothing, he's eating locusts and honey, and he's out in the desert, I would say he's got a demon. I wouldn't see that as a godly hope unless the Holy Spirit obviously speaks to me. And likewise, Mary. Well, she was blessed and the womb was blessed, and yeah, it would be nice to have a lighty that never sins in your house for 18 years. I would say that is not too bad. Al die dogtertjies in die straat is safe. Prys die Here, want Jesus bly hierso. But unfortunately, she also knew that her soul will be pierced, the word says. Because your son will take upon the transgressions of all mankind upon himself. She had to see how a son dies. It was part of her hope. Because her hope was not study hard, get a good job, get a car, make sure you've got a nice pension, and then just keep it safe, keep it safe, keep it safe until it ends. No, no, no. Her hope was quite radical. And so maybe that's a challenge to us as individuals. Or if you've got kids, then it's a challenge to us. Because Mary and Elizabeth, yes, they were blessed, but they didn't have it easy. Consecrated. And so the hope of a mom needs to always be the hope of God as well. Because sometimes a mom might have a cultural hope. Maar die eise doen het so. This is what the Van der Merwes do. No, no, no. This is what the word says. this is what the Logos is. And the Logos will help us. Not this is what culture does. This is what the family does. No, this is what God does. This is who Jesus is. And once that is in place, and once he or she hears that and is obedient to that, then we know that true blessedness, true life, true hope, and goodness will come. Eternal hope, but also a costly hope. So the will of God, or the will and the hope of a mom, we want to be our realities in life. D.L. Moody says the following, "The impression that a praying mother leaves upon her children is lifelong. Perhaps when you are dead and gone, your prayer will be answered." Guys, I want to just encourage you. God is sacred and he will not be mocked. And if you truly and honestly do as Christ calls, and if we share the word and we enable our young ones and then enable ourselves, because this is in fact a message to all of us, that is where this will not end up in stats that breaks our hearts, but that this will end up in life changes. People that leaves a mark, not for their own sake, not for selfishness, but for the love and the will and the kingdom of God. I want you to stand with me because I want to pray for true blessedness only to those, obviously, that would like to receive that today. Maybe I should ask, who wants to be blessed? Who now knows that it's not too easy necessarily? But there's grace, guys. Hofmeyr kicked it off so beautifully that it's by the grace of God that God can enable us. So let's just close our eyes as I'm going to pray with you. Lord, we thank you for both Elizabeth and Mary that were truly blessed and both their children were blessed and left a mark and changed all of eternity for mankind. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, God, that true blessedness is something that we would like. And we ask today that you will come and just, through your Spirit, come and counsel those that need counseling in this moment. Lord, if we for ourselves or if we as parents have a hope for our children that something that will just lead to disappointment and hurt, I pray that we can firstly bring our hope to you and say, Lord, just come recalibrate that hope. Maybe with all eyes closed, maybe if there's a cultural, worldly, family type of hope that you know is not in line with the Word of God and can actually just lead to a broken reality. Just with all eyes closed, just raise your hand that God can come and restore a godly hope in us for ourselves and our kids. Just raise your hand up. Let's do some business with the Lord, so to speak. Thank you, Lord, for these hands. Lord, thank you that we've got a flesh as well, and sometimes we do have carrier hope that is not in line with your word, and that is not, you're not a killjoy, you're not harsh or hard, you're just saying, hey kids, that's going to lead to destruction, hey kids, that's actually going to lead to something that hurts you. It's like eating something that can never fill you, like drinking something but it can never satisfy your thirst. And so Lord, thank you for these hands, and we say, just recalibrate our hope to be in line with the word of God. That what we believe and what we hope for ourselves and what the mother's hope is that we carry, that it's actually biblical. Because that can lead to true fulfillment. And then for yourself, if you just want to say, Lord, help me to see Christ. Because my reality and my hope is far from each other in my personal life. And I need Christ to just bring these two together. If that's you, just again raise your hand and I'm going to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, will you please do just that? Will you come through your Logos, through your word, enable us through your Spirit to spend time in your word, to receive what you want to say to us in this season, to taste you and know that you're real and that your word will come in and be a double-edged sword that come and change our lives from the inside so that we can sow wisely and so that our reality is actually in line with the hope that we carry for ourselves. And then just lastly, something prophetically for our country. And here I need your faith, just your mustard seed faith. You know what? God knew each and every one of you before you were made and born. But God also, I believe, has a plan for this country. I read some stats. It's just a reality check for us. But that's not truth. It's a fact, but it's not truth. Truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He changes that. And so, even if it's one person, can you put your faith with me tonight? To say, Lord, we remind you of your heart for South Africa. God, we remind you of your promises for this country. God, we remind you that you knew this bunch of people on the southern point of Africa to come together. And you knew the plans that you had for this country, for the season, the seasons to come. But Lord, we are also very much aware that what your hope is, what the so-called mother's hope is for South Africa, and the reality very often is far and wide from one another. Jesus Christ, will you come and bridge this gap? Will you enable, by your grace, a fear of the Lord? Will you enable, by your grace, the word in the homes that says yes to it? We don't pray anything over anybody that does not want that, Lord. We don't override anybody's will. You're a good God. But I pray, Holy Spirit, will you come? And will you encounter people that they can taste and that they can then say yes, so that your word can enter, your logos can enter, that Jesus Christ can enter homes, families, broken generations, and so that we can have a hope that is one that is internal, and that our reality will be that of life and life in abundance. Lord, you promised so many times revival for South Africa. We just remind you. Please bridge the gap. We just remind you. And we say, have your way. Your kingdom come, and your will be done. Your kingdom come, and your will be done. And we say, Lord, that you sit on your throne, and likewise, you will sit for this country and for us that say yes in our hearts. You will keep sitting on the chair that carries your hope, for you are faithful in Jesus' name. And we just want to come and say, yes, have your way. Amen. Amen.